Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 251 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about minerals that are important for your body. And while this episode might not be like super skin focused, I do commonly see these issues in my clients. So I thought it would be best to actually share this with you directly. And this is because we talk a lot about zinc. And yet the other nutrients that it is kind of related to, and it's important to be balanced with, specifically copper, and then also we're going to talk about iron today. These are all important. We don't want to just fixate on one. We want to look at the full complete picture of what could be going on to help you not just with your skin, but also with overall health. My guest today is Amanda Montalvo, and she's a dietitian who helps women get to the root cause of hormone imbalances and have healthy menstrual cycles. Amanda started off her education in nutrition with a very traditional route, but had her own health problems after getting off of hormonal birth control, and quickly she realized the value of a more functional approach. She has dealt with her own personal acne woes, balancing her hormones, and in the process, also learning the value of her menstrual cycle, Amanda found her purpose to help women create a body in balance and not settle for anything less. And if you follow Amanda, you will know she talks a lot about these nutrients that we're going to be talking about today. So without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation. Amanda, I'm so excited to have you here on the show. I'm glad this worked out. You're going to talk to us today about minerals. I've been having these like sprinklings of mineral conversations, I feel like, over the past like 8 to 10 months. And I love what you bring to the table because it's just such another perspective, an important perspective on understanding minerals. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's a fun topic that we're going to dig into with the copper and iron stuff. It can be a little confusing, but we're going to try to keep it very simple.
Perfect. So tell us a little bit first off, so we can kind of like set the stage here. For those who may not fully understand why minerals are important, what is the reason behind why we're having that? Because why would we have this conversation if they weren't important, right?
I know. And it's so funny because people are like, well, you're hormone healing RD. So why are you telling me I should do like a hair test? You know, why are we focusing so much on minerals? But I think they're honestly important for everyone. And minerals, they kick off different reactions in the body. So if we think about having certain deficiencies or imbalances or excesses of different minerals, that's going to impact the different systems that we have. And so the more imbalances we have, then eventually that's when symptoms are going to pop up. So we need minerals to make energy. We need minerals to fuel our metabolism, hormone production, detox. Digestion is huge with minerals. So they really kind of touch every different system. And that's why it's such a big focus in my work.
Exactly. I love too that we can all work on different like specialties, and yet this information can be applied to so many different issues, conditions, health problems, symptoms, etc. It's just so universal, which is really great on one hand, how important minerals actually are. So in terms of what you mentioned, like we're going to talk about copper and iron today. What is specific that somebody might not know about why copper and iron? What's the deal with the two of them?
Okay, so when I think of iron, I think a lot of, you know, I come from the functional medicine space. I feel like you do as well. And a lot of people listening are probably somewhat familiar with like this idea of functional medicine, a more holistic whole body approach. And iron is like the one thing in that where I'm like, I feel like we're not doing this the justice that it needs. And we're still simplifying it. Right? A lot of people will have their iron levels tested, and maybe it's serum iron, maybe it's ferritin. And I'm sure we'll talk about ferritin because it's not the best measurement of iron, but it's a huge focus in the functional medicine space. Mm-hmm. And so we take this topic of iron, we simplify it into being high or low, and that we need more iron, right? And iron is so much more complex than that. It's not like our other minerals in the body. It's tightly regulated. We have a whole iron recycling system that controls it, and certain nutrients then control how that system works. So that's where copper comes in. But it's just so much more than the iron levels itself. And then if we think of iron, if it accumulates, it can impact estrogen, inflammation, digestion. I mean, literally every system in the body. And so it's one of those areas where I feel like if we all had a better understanding, then we wouldn't have this confusion around like, do I need a supplement with iron? Why is my iron low? We would understand like, oh, maybe it's like a copper issue. Maybe it's vitamin A. And I'm sure we'll get into all that.
Well, so let's start with, can we start with copper? Since I feel like I've had a number of conversations about zinc on the show, because there's a lot of benefits specifically for the skin when it comes to zinc. But my audience is aware that you do have to be careful with the zinc because you do need to keep it in balance with copper. That's pretty much what they know. So what else do they need to know about copper?
So copper is just a very underrated mineral. If we think about, when I think of copper, I think of even just how important it is for energy production. It helps us take oxygen, turn it into energy, and it does that with magnesium as well. And so if we don't have enough copper, we're going to have energy deficiency, fatigue, whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, that's going to impact the other systems of the body. So copper is really important for overall energy. It's important for collagen. It works with vitamin C, for thyroid hormone. It does so many different things in the body, but it also regulates iron. And that's why it kind of comes up over and over in that iron conversation. I also feel like most people don't get a lot of copper in their diets now because a lot of us don't eat organ meats. I mean, maybe people that listen to the show are eating organ meats.
I think it's hit or miss. I will acknowledge I don't. I'm a hard pass on the organ meats.
Or they're like supplementing with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but this is something that we traditionally had in our diet for a very long time. And now we don't. So it's one of those foods that I feel like are nutrients and foods that we don't get as much of.
That's very true. And it's also not found in many multivitamins. It's actually hard to find supplements that have copper in them. So you really have to look for them, unfortunately. And most zinc supplements do not have copper in them either. Yeah. So there's, you a lot of times are really not balanced at all in any way, shape, or form. So copper seems like it's kind of like a little bit of like the manager of iron.
Yes.
So what then, how would you describe iron? Like, what do people need to know beyond it helps you because it's a part of hemoglobin, which is in your red blood cells. It moves oxygen and carbon dioxide around the body appropriately. And it, you know, and I know a lot of women too listening to this might go, well, you know, I have heavy periods, so I tend to be more iron deficient. Beyond that, what would they need to know about that, about iron specifically?
So copper moves more oxygen than iron actually in the body.
Does it really?
It does. So, but iron's, I mean, it is important. And I feel like when I talk about copper and iron, people then want to demonize iron. Like, oh my gosh, I never want any iron. And we need to be so careful with iron. It's more that we just want this system working properly. And I think that's the key, right? So I think if you can understand that our iron recycling system, so it's basically iron's in our tissues. We need to get it into the blood. How do we do that? We have different proteins that are moving it around, but those proteins need enzymes. And if those enzymes are just like making a reaction happen, and that's where the minerals come in, right? Minerals are spark plugs for reactions in the body for enzymes. So copper helps those enzymes work properly, and then that allows iron to be in motion. And I think if people only take one thing away from the podcast episode about understanding this whole iron thing, it's that we don't want iron stuck, right? If iron is stuck, it's going to accumulate, and that's when we create more inflammation. And then that's also when we can look deficient, right? We can look like we have iron deficiency anemia on our labs, but in reality, we are deficient in copper or vitamin A, because vitamin A helps us use copper. Copper gets like all the glory, but if we don't have vitamin A, then the copper doesn't actually work. So a lot of people will focus a ton on copper, but I think vitamin A deficiencies are way more common. And so that's usually the main driver for a lot of people. But basically, we have to get the iron recycling system going with copper and vitamin A. If we don't have those nutrients, it's going to accumulate, can lead to more imbalances and inflammation in the body.
Okay. And so in terms of like the iron recycling system, so the idea is that we obviously, like, so for women who are menstruating, you are going to lose some iron every single month, assuming you menstruate, although some pills I think you kind of don't for a period of time. That was before my time of being on birth control. Those pills 20 years ago did not do that. They didn't offer that. I think it's seasonal or whatever it is, like where you just don't get your period at all. So we have this one aspect that we're losing copper monthly, we'll just say, or excuse me, iron monthly. Aside from that, so do you worry less about the absorption of iron in terms of like, or do you worry about both? Like, A, are they able to absorb iron out of their diet, your patient or client? And then are they able to recycle it? So recycling, essentially, I think for someone listening to this would look like your body being smart enough to be able to hold on to what it needs and let go of what it doesn't. Would that be an accurate way to describe it to somebody?
I think the recycling system is more of just using it. It's just, can we actually use the iron that we have? And yes, women do bleed. Obviously, we bleed every month unless you are menopausal, which we can definitely talk about because iron is one of the biggest things I focus on with my menopausal clients and avoiding that accumulation of it. But we also absorb a lot of iron. Women absorb a lot more iron than men. And like I think of like pregnancy, you go 9 months without losing any iron, but then somehow your third trimester you're anemic, which is not really the case. It's usually a vitamin A deficiency. So yes, like we have the iron recycling system, we can lose iron, we want to replace it. But one thing with the iron recycling system is we actually make 24 milligrams of iron every 120 days. So basically, if we think about how the system works, we're making this iron, and then that is going to our bone marrow. That's making red blood cells. Those last for about 120 days. Hopefully, if you're super stressed, they will not last as long. And then the process begins all over again. So while I'm not always, like, obviously, if someone's having an absorption issue, it's worrisome because they're probably not absorbing other nutrients as well, not even just iron. But I'm usually more concerned with the recycling system because if iron is not showing up on labs, like say they look like they're anemic, my first concern is like, do we have enough copper? Do we have enough vitamin A? What's their nutrition history, you know, with those foods? Were they vegan or vegetarian in the past, which is typically going to be really low in vitamin A, and kind of digging into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's really, at least in my practice, it's very common for people to be low in vitamin A, especially, and I just assume that it's because if, you know, like I don't eat organ meat. I like liverwurst. When I found out what liver, I thought, I don't know what I thought liverwurst was made of. And then my sister ruined it for me. And I was like, oh no, I can't eat that. But anyway, the point is that like my diet is probably not very high in vitamin A. And for those who I find who are low in vitamin D, a lot of times they're also low in vitamin A. That's usually a good like kind of red flag because, and especially then if they're not eating organ meats, they're not eating liver, which is the best source of vitamin A. Too many people, I think, depend on beta carotene as a source of vitamin A. What's your thoughts on that in terms of like beta carotene and converting that sort of plant-based form of vitamin, precursor to vitamin A into the active form?
I just prefer that people only focus on the active form, the retinol. Some people kind of depend on your genetics. You are not going to be able to convert it as well. So it's one of those things. And then like, how much are you converting? Like the percentage is lower. The amount that you would need to eat is a lot. And then also too much beta carotene isn't good for us either. So it's kind of this balance of like, how can we get enough of that retinol? Genetics wise, but then like how much beta carotene would you have to eat? And then what other downsides are going to come from that if you're eating too much? But the retinol is just, it's just acts differently in the body. It's a powerful antioxidant that can protect us from excess iron if we are having like iron accumulation and everything. So that's what I typically focus on with people. And if they don't want to eat it, then dairy is a good source. Egg yolks, good source. Obviously, you're not going to get nearly as much as you would get in something like liver. Then supplementing is better than nothing. Like there's so many great beef liver supplements out there now that I feel like a lot of people could do that instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So in terms of testing, because I think that's going to be the question for people who are listening to this going, well, my iron levels have been a little low. But I don't know, almost, I think it's very infrequent that a doctor is willing to run a serum copper. I don't think that's probably even a great way to identify a copper issue. What are some, like, what's your feelings on conventional labs looking at an iron panel, copper, vitamin A versus, you had mentioned the hair mineral tissue analysis?
I mean, for iron, I like both. If you can, I think you get the best picture. Blood work, you can get a lot of information for iron, though. So serum iron is a great place to start. And that's telling you more of like how efficiently you're using iron in the body. Morley Robbins, I love how he describes it as like your miles per gallon of iron. You know, like how efficiently your body is able to make it, recycle it, use it. And so it's a good place to start. If that is low, so optimal is 100. If that's low, then you want to understand like, okay, my first thought is vitamin A. Unless you're someone, especially if like you have a history with like vegan, vegetarian or not eating organ meats, I would typically think most likely you have depleted vitamin A levels. And so that's, you can ask to get retinol tested. If you say vitamin A, your doctor is probably going to order beta carotene. So I just say, ask for vitamin A, specifically retinol. I've had so many women get that blood work from their doctor with no issue. And then the other one's hemoglobin. That's a great marker for iron. 70% of our iron is in hemoglobin. So that's another one that you want to look at. And 13.5 is optimal for women. And so if it's below that, then again, like I would think retinol, copper, which blood work gives you like it's better than nothing. But for things like copper, I really like hair testing because you get to see inside the cell, and then just your like picture of stress. Like it shows you the last 3 months of time, your current stage of stress, and overall mineral levels, which I feel like helps you better understand like where are you at in this whole like healing journey with how much stress your body's under, how's your body coping with stress. What is that potentially going to look like for you for a timeline, which can be so helpful when you're in the thick of things and you're wanting to understand like how long is this going to take or like why aren't things moving quicker? If you maybe say you do a hair test and you see that you have really low mineral levels, that's going to make a lot more sense as far as like progress and stuff. So I like combination of like hair testing, blood work to get the full picture of iron, but I do think you can do a lot from blood work as well.
Okay. And what about ferritin? You had mentioned that earlier.
Okay. Ferritin. So ferritin, everyone says it's like stored iron, and it does store iron, but it's supposed to be inside the cell. So we don't actually want to see high ferritin levels. And in my functional nutrition training, high ferritin is a sign of inflammation.
Correct. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so that's a sign of inflammation, but if ferritin's not high enough, then that can be a sign of low copper. But 20 to 50 is plenty for ferritin. I mean, I remember learning how, like, if people have hair loss, they need to have at least 80 or higher. But then if it's above 100, it's a sign of inflammation. So it's like, then what is it? So when we look at what ferritin actually is, it's supposed to be stored in our cells. And so when we see it getting dislodged more into the blood, that's a sign that we actually have low or plenty of iron stores, but there's inflammation in the body. So that ferritin's getting displaced. And there's two types of ferritin. So it's like heavy chain, light chain. The light chain is the one that we see on the blood work that is not storing iron. The heavy chain stores a lot more iron, and we need copper to get the iron into the ferritin. So ferritin is, I would say, like my least favorite measurement for iron. I'd rather look at like serum iron, hemoglobin, vitamin A.
I let me ask you one other question. At least I've noticed with hemoglobin is that hemoglobin tends to drop later than the iron values. So you could have like, well, or though sometimes I'll see somebody who has like they'll just go by a CBC panel. Their doctor's like, oh, you look fine. But then when you look at their iron panel, everything's like low, 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 low. Across the board. And I just have noticed clinically that hemoglobin tends to drop slower. Do you think it's because of the recycling system?
I do, because if you think about it, that's really where it's all going. And because it's, I mean, hemoglobin is just a great representation of your iron stores. So you can have low serum iron and normal hemoglobin. I see that all the time. And again, it just kind of comes back to like, what is the actual cause of it though? And that's why we never like just want to throw iron on something if we don't really truly need it. And when I think of people that like would actually need iron supplementation, it could be like really poor digestion, like lots of hormone imbalance issues, vegan, vegetarian history where they just weren't getting it. But even then, it's usually still so much important to have other nutrients, or someone that's had like major blood loss. But like those are pretty rare cases. For most people, even like donating blood can actually help kickstart your iron recycling system. So like even when we have a lot of blood loss, when people talk about heavy periods, I'm like, but you're just going to be recycling more. So there's still a deeper issue of like what's actually at play here. It's not that you're deficient in iron. Like, why are your periods so heavy, right? Is it an estrogen thing? Where's the imbalance there?
Oh, you mentioned something, and I apologize. I'm not recalling which mineral it was, but you mentioned something about estrogen in the beginning. Was that connected with copper or iron?
With iron. So like, as estrogen goes up, hepcidin will also increase, and then that means we have less iron absorption in the gut. And so you can look anemic when you have high estrogen, but in reality, you're actually storing a lot of iron. So hormones can definitely impact our iron status as well. And that's just another thing to keep in mind.
So if somebody is in an estrogen dominant state, would they be more likely to have something like this going on?
I would say they're probably more likely to look anemic on their blood work. But I will tell you what, I see so many high irons, like serum iron. I see high iron saturation a ton on blood work. And so it's one of those things where it's like, it could just be like that they, because of their, I hear a lot from people, oh, I've been told I'm anemic because they had like fatigue and they were never tested. And their doctor's like, you're probably anemic. You probably need more iron, you know? So I know it's like, it's terrifying. So it's one of those things where it's like, are you actually anemic? And are you still that way? Cause like, it could have been something else when you were younger. But yeah, so hormones can definitely impact it. It's one of those things where it's like, we just want to understand like what's below that root cause though. Like if I look at iron imbalance as like a symptom, right? So what's actually causing that symptom?
Yeah. And iron issues, like some people will recall, I did an episode on iron and skin issues. And so low iron levels can actually cause for some individuals to have like really itchy skin. They don't exactly know why, but the same can be for zinc. So it's just interesting to see how the minerals can impact this outer barrier of your skin that's so important. I'm going to ask you a question. I've thought of this before, but I don't know if you know the answer. And if you don't, it's fine. So years ago, I remember I was working with this Ayurvedic practitioner, and she used to drink water that would sit overnight in a copper cup. Have you ever heard of anybody, because it would infuse, like the copper ions would go into the water. Have you ever heard of anybody using that to maybe help to get more copper into their system?
My concern with that would be too much copper, not enough vitamin A. Because that's, so the other thing with copper is like also nuanced, where we want enough copper, but we also need enough vitamin A. So when we don't have enough vitamin A, we can have an excess of copper that's not available for use. So it's not like we have all this extra copper to like make a ton of energy and make our metabolism stronger. We have this copper that will then accumulate. Similarly to iron, it can accumulate in the liver. A lot of iron recycling and iron metabolism occurs in the liver. And so if that builds up, you have lots of usually like signs of like sluggish liver. Acne is a huge one with iron accumulation, skin issues. And so copper can do the same thing. And copper can really impact your mood, your mental state. And then, of course, then if you eat high copper foods and you have super high copper, then you don't feel great. And you're kind of like, so people with really high copper that eat beef liver feel terrible typically. So I would just be wary of getting too much copper. I would think that most people need more vitamin A.
Vitamin A. All comes back to vitamin
A. You must talk about that a lot with skin.
I have many podcasts where we talk about vitamin A for sure, but that was the this is the first time where it's discussed within this like little trio.
So, have you seen the studies with thyroid? Vitamin A and thyroid is amazing. So it can help lower TSH. It helps turn on our thyroid receptors, similar to how it works with vitamin D. And there's so many studies using vitamin A. They're in animals. We need human studies, but true. It literally lowers TSH. People get off medication. Like it's amazing. So I always think vitamin A, when I think of those clients that are deficient, they usually have thyroid issues, skin issues, you know, metabolism issues, everything kind of goes together.
Yeah. It's also interesting that there's so much like fear mongering around vitamin A, like, oh, you're going to end up with an excess of vitamin A. Beware, beware.
But we give people Accutane. Like,
it is very true. We do use it therapeutically on the skin internally as Accutane, but yeah, we worry about it if you take vitamin too much. So in terms of, in general, just to like pull back for a second and get to that 2000 foot view, the idea here, and I think that's one thing that I really appreciate about a lot of your posts on Instagram and whatnot, is showing that this is really about the relationship between different nutrients and understanding that it's not just one thing that's going to fix you. Would that be an accurate description?
We love to simplify things, like even like vitamin D and stuff like that. It's like, well, magnesium converts vitamin D. We need vitamin A for vitamin D to work properly as well. So it's especially with nutrients, I think in our minds, because we can supplement with it, we want it to just be like, oh, it's low, I need this. But in reality, especially with minerals, they're synergistic. Like you were talking about copper and zinc, they're all synergistic. So we just have to keep that in mind. It usually means that less is more. And hopefully that makes people feel at ease of like, oh, I actually don't, if I'm anemic or if my doctor tells me I'm anemic, my iron is low, I could take something like beef liver instead of an iron supplement. And that should help with the issue. Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, there's plenty of, I don't like organ meats and I can't swallow pills. So that's where I am doomed.
How do you get your vitamin A?
Like a liquid vitamin A. Yeah. It tastes awful, but whatever, that's the best I can do.
Oil's another one. That's vitamin A.
No. My dad used to put it in orange juice and make us drink it. When I was a child, I was very scarred.
You're a lucky kid. A lot of people they don't have any, and then they're like,
I know,
have all these deficiencies. And
I know. I got scarred early in life, and it just is what it is. And so the moral of this short section is for everybody listening, don't be like me. Don't be like me. And we all have things we don't like, and it's life. And you just got to find a way to work around it and do what you can do. But don't anticipate beta carotene to save you from your vitamin A woes, and don't fixate on just zinc because we need the copper, and then don't fixate on just iron because we need the copper too, and we need them all.
And one quick note about zinc that I feel like you'll think is very interesting. So I see low zinc a lot on blood work, but it's usually really high on a hair test, meaning that it's leaving the cell, like you're using up a lot of it. That is typically a result of low magnesium because they're very synergistic. And so magnesium, I feel like that becomes depleted so easily. It gets depleted whenever we're stressed. It's hard to get from food. Not everyone supplements or takes enough. And then that depleted magnesium then leads to the use of zinc. So whenever I see low zinc, I'm like, but do you really need more magnesium is the question.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times with skin issues, plus the doctor usually only tests serum zinc, which is not the greatest marker for zinc status. Although there is research that does show that they have seen like more severe atopic dermatitis or eczema cases associated with low serum zinc, but it's still like, not so great of a value. But the red blood cell or erythrocyte zinc tends to be the better one, but it's so rarely run. And a lot of times doctors are like, I didn't even know you could run that. I don't know what that is. And it is very frequently, I've seen it low in clients who have a lot of skin problems. So that is a really great little tidbit to leave off with. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you for being here and sharing this because I know that not everybody is super into like, it's kind of a biochemistry kind of a conversation, but it's like, this is how real life happens. We have to look at the symphony of nutrients and figure out what's the best combo for us. And it also exemplifies the type of work that you do and how the type of value and benefit that you obviously bring to your clients and patients. And so thank you so much for being here. You also have a great podcast. You want to share where everyone can find you and mention your podcast as well.
Yes, thanks for having me. It was a fun conversation. So my podcast is called Are You Menstrual? And you can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are played, YouTube. And then I'm really active on Instagram. I'm Hormone Healing RD. That's where I probably share the most content. But I do have a weekly newsletter where I spend a lot of time in there too. So those are all three great places. If you're like, I'm into this, I want to learn more about minerals, I would definitely consider following me.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being here. And I hope you can come back sometime.
I definitely will.
I was so excited to have Amanda on the show, especially after we've had other conversations with some of my other colleagues about the importance of minerals. And so continuing to dive into overall nutrition and understanding not only how that impacts your skin, but also your body as a whole. If you'd like to check out all of the resources and different links for Amanda, head on over to the show notes at skinterrupt.com/251. And you can leave your questions and comments there so we can keep the conversation going. And then make a point to share this episode with someone you know who might only be focused on one mineral, like supplementing with iron or supplementing with zinc, and forgetting, or I shouldn't even say forgetting, maybe they don't even know that there actually is this beautiful interconnection between minerals and nutrients in the body that is really important to balance. As a member of the Healthy Skin Show community, I invite you to head on over to your podcast platform of choice, rate and review the Healthy Skin Show, and then hit the subscribe button. That way you never miss a weekly dose of inspiration, new research, tips and strategies, all focused around helping you rebuild healthy skin. And then let's connect over on social media. I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.